Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time to talk social media. Watching what you say on social media has a very different definition these days. Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg with us now to talk about things to keep in mind before you post. And Scott, we used to talk about this all the time, being careful and posting the right things on social media.
Yeah. Morning, Bob. We did. And, you know, while I'm still a social media purist at heart, this definitely means different things to different people. But there's a huge divide between what a business account should do and what a personal account should do. Where the two intersect is that it's important to be mindful of what you post across the board.
Now, some social media things stick with you. I remember when you used to talk about the grandma test. Talk a little bit more about that for folks who don't know what it is.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for remembering. It's one of those things that people often come back and ask me about. So years ago, I would say that you want to make sure that your social media post passes the grandma test, which means if you wouldn't say it to your grandmother, you wouldn't say it on social media. And at the time, people were starting to get really bold. They were starting to use language that you wouldn't use in front of your grandmother. And now, you know, back then, actually, you know, there were different rules on social media. There were flags when you started to use words that wouldn't pass that test. And some people reported their accounts were actually being limited in reach.
Do those flags still exist? Because it sure seems like you can say anything you want on social media these days.
Honestly, Bob, this is one of the most painful parts of social media evolution, where you have to put some things in a box and relegate them to the corner of the garage. And some flags do exist, but you're certainly not going to get banned for saying a word that you wouldn't say in front of your grandma. But that said, I'm still not ready to put the box in the garage. I think that there's plenty that we can learn from the evolution of the grandma test.
Like what?
Well, I'm still a firm believer that you should be reading everything you post before you post it. The grandma test was built as a way to check yourself. It was intended as a way to slow things down to make sure that you weren't going to regret what you posted later. And even if we're not calling it the grandma test, I think one of the worst things you can do on social media is type and then hit send and type something else and hit send, because before you know it, you've gone on a rant or you posted something that you're going to regret. And then you're going to reach out to someone like me to ask what you should do about it.
Yeah, and by the time they reach out to someone like you, it's pretty much too late, isn't it?
Well, I mean, and the damage can certainly be done, because one of the things we've learned from the grandma test, or whatever we're calling it now, is that once something is online, it's online. The delete button only goes so far. People take screenshots and people remember. And that's why I always tell business owners to be very careful, because people's memories are powerful.
And speaking of things that have changed, hasn't the advice on the delete button changed? Because now, doesn't some social media automatically disappear?
Yeah, I was going to get to that if you didn't, and that's a fantastic point, Bob. We didn't have Snapchat. We didn't have Instagram stories and those things that introduced a whole new kind of social media to us, the kind that disappears in 24 hours. So there's definitely a different level of safety. Younger social media users, they keep their social media to their friends, and they don't worry about what outsiders see because outsiders don't see it. But that doesn't mean that good habits aren't important.
Talking with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. All right, Scott, let's get to your number one tip of sorts on how to keep the good habits we've been talking about top of mind.
Yeah, sure. I would say if you are publishing, especially on a platform where social media doesn't disappear, be very careful that you read what you write before you post it. I still think that's very valuable advice, whether it's the year 2012, 2022, or 2032. Of course, no one knows what the social media landscape is going to look like in 2032, not even me. But I do know that if you posted something in 2012, there's a good chance it'll still be there in some form in 2032. And in case there's any doubt about whether or not people are concerned about things like this, Bob, something really interesting happened the other day. I'm not sure if this was an update to the Facebook app or something to do with Facebook itself, but the ability to edit a post disappeared. Now, Facebook allows you to edit posts, and all of a sudden, everyone was talking about the fact that you could no longer edit. So that tells me that people, they're aware of editing, and there's some level of concern about a familiar feature disappearing, because these days there's no way to tell if something like that is a glitch or a change in the rules.
Yeah, I thought it was a glitch. I was actually trying to edit a post on Facebook page that Marianne and I have, facebook.com/Surratt and Marciano, and I couldn't. And now I know why. So this all goes back to what you said earlier, because if you're not careful about what you post and all of a sudden the ability to edit a post disappears, you could be stuck with it, or you could have to delete it entirely.
Exactly. And people are pining for these types of features, Bob. I mean, people have been asking for an edit button on Twitter since the beginning of Twitter time. Now, the beginning of Twitter time is 2006. And 16 years later, I think it's still one of the worst ideas in the entire world. But clearly, I'm in the minority there, because Twitter is actually testing this as a premium feature that eventually is going to cost money. And I said recently, I don't think Twitter's premium feature, which is called Twitter Blue, is worth its $4.99 a month. And I don't think it's worth $4.99 a month as it exists now. But I'm willing to bet you that money, Bob, that the edit button will be the feature that brings premium Twitter into the mainstream, because people want that ability. They want that sense of self-control over what they're doing. But I think the thing that's really going to upset people is I don't see Twitter edit ever being this universal edit where you can just go back months later and change what you tweeted, because there's way too many bad things that can happen with a feature like that. I think it's going to be more like a timer where you can unsend after a certain period of time within a certain window. But I'm just guessing, Bob, because they're testing all different kinds of things. And, you know, for today, the point is this. You have always had a Twitter edit button. It's called proofreading, and it's always been free of charge, and it always will be. And it's the best edit button you're ever going to have, because reading and rereading 280 characters, it's going to take you a few seconds at most.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay $4.99 a month. And although I like the idea of an unsend feature, not just for Twitter, but for everything you post. And it's also worth mentioning here that even though this conversation is framed around the idea around the use of social media, this applies to everything on the internet, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does, Bob. There's definitely a blurred line between social media and something that exists online. We say that all the time when we talk about things like updating your passwords and your privacy settings. My best advice there is, if you're applying a best practice on something related to social media, check and make sure that the best practice doesn't extend well beyond social media, because that is going to save you a lot of headaches later.
And this all reminds me, and it's probably a good time to mention this again, we've got the college kids back in school and pretty soon looking for jobs. What you post now lives forever, doesn't it?
It does, but what's super interesting about the college crowd is they're the young people who are using the social media that disappears after 24 hours. So they're going to say things like, well, I don't have social media to look at. But that leads to a whole different problem, because employers, people, they're going to be looking for your social media. They kind of expect you to have some of each. So, yes, you absolutely have to make sure that you're careful about what you post.
Ready for the Genius Bar question, Scott?
Always, yes.
This came in via text. Besides me, I'm sure your listeners will benefit by your asking this interesting question. I own an iPhone 11, and my monthly cellular data is always very high, and I can't figure out why. Trying to find out why, I looked in my systems app. I think my cell data is high because it shows my system services uses up so much gigabytes of data each month. My question is, what is system services, and how can I lower the cell data it uses?
Well, that's a fantastic question. System services is kind of like the underpinning under the hood of a car. Like, you know how to do certain things under the hood of your car, but there are certain things you could never do. System services kind of falls into that. It's the stuff that makes the phone operate that you don't want to mess with. So, yes, it is the thing in your listings that has the highest amount of gigabytes, but the best way, if you're talking about lowering your cellular use, go to your settings menu, go to cellular, you'll see system services under there, but what you'll see is a list of all of the apps that are using cellular data to update. If you turn off the ones that you don't need to update over cellular, it'll automatically only update over Wi-Fi. So, for example, if you're updating Instagram over your cellular data, you really don't need to do that. Even Twitter, you don't need to do that. Turning those things off will save you a whole bunch of data. And there is one other way that does not involve that menu at all. If you go to settings and go to battery, there is something under there called low power mode. It turns off all of the things in the background that are not vital to the use of your phone. Some of those things would appear under system services. Use that. It changes the battery icon to yellow, and you'll use less power, and therefore you'll use less data.
I know people are going to want to hear this again. So later on, when we post everything that we do on the broadcast here, all of the interviews, go to WGNRadio.com and our show page, WGNRadio.com/Surratt, and you'll be able to listen to Scott's advice again. Especially like what you said about the apps, because it's not about deleting the apps, but you don't have those updates using up all the data. Thank you,
exactly.
Scott.
Exactly.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you next week.